I'm excited to stand before you this evening and present a portion of God's Word that I hope that it might help you understand God's plan a little bit better for you as it has myself. We stand here this evening, or I stand here this evening, you sit there this evening, and we're going to talk about a few things that I feel are very important to us, and I feel like it can lead us down a good path, or it can lead us down a bad path. Now, the first invitation I did here went Red Rover, Red Rover. And, you know, I got a lot of great feedback from that silly little story, silly little game that was played in elementary school. And so this evening, I'm going to go back in time again, that when I was a toddler, and the story goes like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Now, I don't know that story very well, but it is something that is told children. And I tell you, if you ask me what's wrong with this country, a lot of times I'll say T-ball. Everybody gets a trophy. Nobody has to do anything. It's a participation. And we want to reward people for showing up. I hope none of you just showed up this evening. Because the reward that we want to gain is that reward with our Heavenly Father. We want that reward of eternity. And I'm going to tell you, we're not going to get that just by showing up. That's not possible. So this evening, as we look at Humpty Dumpty, why was he on the wall? I don't know. Why did he fall? Did somebody push him? I don't know. You know, the image of Humpty Dumpty is like an egg. You know, it's wide at the bottom, narrow at the top, and pretty unbalanced. And I don't know who made this story up, and I don't know how it came about, but I tell you, that's a great image to think about as we're considering ourselves. As we consider how we live, how we work, where we live, the congregation we attend. Because I tell you, we live in a society now that wants to point the blame at anything else but ourselves. Humpty Dumpty should have not been on the wall. That's my conclusion. Just like me, I shouldn't be on a ladder. That's an ugly situation. Because when I fall, it's going to be ugly. We have to know our limitations. And we have to know how we can serve our God in the best way. Scott texted me the other day and asked me what my title was. And I wrote back real quick, Humpty Dumpty. But I have a second title also. And in that second title, I think hopefully that will help us look at some things that are more applicable to the scriptures this evening. And as we take those scriptures and consider those things within God's Word, we can see or understand where I'm going with the Humpty Dumpty story. Because our goal tonight is that none of us are Humpty Dumpties, that none of us fall out of the grace of God, and none of us struggle with temptation of sin. But the reality is, we will. How will we handle that when that day comes? If you would turn to Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, I'm going to start reading in verse 8. It says, then Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is it not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered, everywhere like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. The other title I gave Scott is, where do you pitch your tent? Where do you pitch your tent? A few weeks ago, we took a few days and we went camping, or glamping is probably more accurate. We had a cabin. And there was a lot of people there with motorhomes and tents and other cabins. You know, you look to some people and you think, wow, this is really important to them. Based on the financial commitment they've made, it's like, wow. From a $2,500 tote behind camper to an $800,000 Monaco full coach, they all came up, they all parked, they all got along. As far as we know, when the crowd came in, we left. So we planned that just right. We had a lot of space to ourselves. But when you look at people pitching their tent, there were some campers out there that brought their tents. And I just like, wow, I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could sleep on the ground at my age anymore. You know, at one time I could sleep anywhere, and I still can sleep apparently sitting straight up in a chair now too. So it's amazing how that works. But when we choose to pitch our tent, where are we choosing to pitch it at? You know, the story of Lot is very common to all of us. Lot chose what he saw as the better choice. The land that had a lot of water, the land that was beautiful, but the land also was very evil. I can tell you when I was younger, there was times that I thought, I can handle that. That's not a big deal. It doesn't matter with that one choice. I can tell you that Lot probably thought the same thing when he was driving the stakes into his tents and he saw Sodom in the distance. What he didn't realize is the influence that the people from Sodom and Gomorrah would have on his family. You know, as individuals, a lot of times we make a decision and we think about tomorrow. But when we make the decision, do we think about next month? Next year? The next generation? Where are our minds at when we seek to pitch our tent? And we're going to look at a couple of things here that will hopefully help you understand the need to consider where you pitch your tent. I would also like to read in Genesis chapter 23. And I'm going to begin, in chapter 22. I'm going to begin in verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the a knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The Lord shall provide. To us, sometimes I'm challenged with that. I am so challenged that the Lord will provide. And if I'm challenged with that, I have a feeling that there's others here that are challenged with the Lord will provide. So many times I want to make things happen. I want to take control. I want to position things in the right spot so they turn out for me. Selfish me. If God will provide a sacrifice to Abraham, will he not take care of me? Maybe I don't get to live exactly where I want to live. Maybe I don't get to go on vacations that I really want to go on. Maybe I don't get to have the hobbies that I really want to have. God will provide. And I can tell you this evening, it doesn't matter where you want to go. I don't care what kind of car you want to drive. I don't care. Anything that's in your way of going to heaven needs to be removed. You know, there was a few invitations ago, I talked a little bit about Abraham, and sometimes I get focused on sayings or phrases to try to catch your attention. And I quoted the famous Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. When they're interviewing him and he's talking about stuff, all of a sudden he stops and says, It doesn't matter. There's no truer statement than your soul's salvation. When it comes to anything that can get in your way, it's not important enough. Whatever it is. And we can sit here all night and build lists. But you know what's in your life. Give it up. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's keeping you separated from your God. Give it up. Move on. Build that relationship with your God and your Father so you won't be tempted by doing whatever is a struggle for you. The thing that we need to remember more than anything is that God provides. God provides. In 2 Chronicles, we read about the Reubenites there. Second Chronicles 5. We're begin reading in verse 18. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh had valiant men who carried shield and a sword and drew the bow, expert in war, 44,760 able to go to war. They waged war against the Hagrites, Jeter, Nephish, Nodabad, and when they prevailed over them, the Hagrites and all who were with them were given into the hands, for they cried out to God in the battle. And he granted their urgent plea because they trusted in him. They carried off their livestock, 50,000 of their camels, 250,000 sheep, 2,000 donkeys, and 100,000 men alive. For many fell because the war was of God, and they lived in their place until exile. If God has delivered these numbers to these people, what will he do for us? What will he provide for us if we trust in him? We know the story of David and Goliath. We know the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We know the story of Daniel. Did God let any of those down? I don't think so. Has God let you down? I don't think so. Have you made choices to let God down? I have. Probably most of us have. God will provide. We need to understand that He is the King of Kings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would tell you that this world tells you there's a lot of things that can be provided for you. And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to go to verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to you in shame. Do not be deceived. In our classes and Scott's sermons, sin doesn't come up and say, hey, I'm sin over here. Come on, let's have some fun. We won't tell nobody. That's not the way it works. It doesn't happen like that. We are slowly drawn in. And then we are slowly led to destruction. In Galatians chapter 6, reading in verse 7 there, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. When we make decisions, when we decide where to pitch our tent, what do we take into consideration? How do we look at things? Do we consider the effect that it has on our children? Do we consider the effect that it has on our spouse? Do we consider the effect that it has on our family here? Now, this morning, Scott talked about, they don't do a very good job teacher. Well, teach. I tell you, me and Scott would love to have a line going out the door of people that want to teach. We'd love to have that. Give us that problem to deal with, and we'll deal with it. I like talking. I don't know how well I do that from time to time. I know my grammar is choppy at best. But there's a lot of men in here that can stand here and do great sermons. We're just trying to provide individuals to stand before you all to give them some personal touch that you see that you can do this too. I tell people if it can't be that difficult if I'm standing up here doing it. You just need to work on it. But do that. Work with Gary and Ben and get on the invitation list. Start somewhere. Start serving your God and continue to build your skills as you grow. Let's talk for just a moment of what we can do. In Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read in verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And not to continue to reflect back on invitations, but we talked a few months ago about how many choices you make when you wake up in the morning. Before your feet hit the floor in the morning, how many choices do you make? And the study shows that the average person makes 700 choices before your first foot hits the floor. 700 choices. Now, I would like to say, though this passage is an awesome passage, we see it on plaques and in kitchens and living rooms and hallways, who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you, that's a great saying, but I don't think you wake up one day and say, I'm there. There's a lot of little choices. There's a lot of tit pitching that goes on to get you in that area. It's the small decisions that you will make in your daily life. You know, when you have the choice to come to services on a Sunday evening and it's 99 degrees outside and your hot car is sitting out there, and you say, it's awful cool in here. Awful cool in this house. Or maybe it's fill in the blank. When you have the opportunity to serve God, when you have the opportunity to assemble, when you have the opportunity to show love to someone, to help someone in need, whether it's a card, whether it's financial, whether it's food, whatever it might be, maybe it's just a hug. There are some people out there that struggle. And I appreciate Scott's comments this morning that, you know, if this is, you know, we just don't ignore people. It's like, oh, let them go. Really? Really? That's how we're going to view our family? I don't think we do. But we have to be careful, because the small little choices that we make provide huge dividends. Last Sunday night evening, we went and sang De Nova. That was beautiful. I just noticed nobody was standing by me when I was singing. I don't know that that was anything to speak of. I did get, when the elderly person turned down their hearing aid, it did offend me a little bit. But that was an awesome evening. There's opportunities like that that we can do every week. Sometimes we can take advantage of those. Sometimes our schedule doesn't allow that. But when our schedule allows that, do you take that upon you to be there and to participate in that? We have a great impact group that meets the third Friday night of the month. I tell you what, I love that group. And the other thing I love about it, if you're not there, people's not beating you in the head, say, where was you, where was you, where was you? We all have busy lives, but we try to focus on that. And when we can join together in our children, and we can show our children where they need to pitch their tents at in relationships, that's truly valuable, very valuable. As I draw this to a conclusion this evening, there's a lot of, you know, I really started on this lesson 3 or 4 months ago, and I tell you, I probably changed it 3 or 4 minutes ago. But what I want you all to understand is the love that God has for us and the love that we need to show to Him. And I'll tell you, where we pitch our tents shows people what's important to us. Now, you can agree or disagree with that, but I can tell you, society looks at you, they see what's important to you, they see how you react, they see how you prioritize, and they see how you love other people. See, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men and all the king's horses could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can be put back together this evening. Because we have a King of Kings. We have the Lord of Lords. You can be healed spiritually. You can be put back together and nobody will know. Now, a lot of times we might break a precious vase, and we'll get the glue out, and we'll do the best to put that back together, saving every piece and put it in every crevice. Well, you take that to an expert, and they will see the flaw. They will see the flaw in that vase. Tonight, you can be put back together Your sins can be forgiven, and you can walk out this evening with no blemish. That's a wonderful thing. No blemish. Our God is great. We are children of God here. That's our theme this year. We want you to become a child of God also. Our goal this evening is to provide you the opportunity for you to make the decision to pitch your tent towards God. You know, Abraham left and went the other direction. You know what Abraham did when he got to his land? He built an altar to God. That's a wonderful thing. We've all made mistakes in our life. All of us. But we all can be cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be redeemed for our sins, and we can be known as a sinner, redeemed by the blood of our Lord. And we can go to heaven. That's our goal for everyone here this evening. To come in contact with that cleansing blood that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sins and your sins. If there is anything that we can do to help you strengthen your relationship with God, regain your relationship with God, or create a new relationship with God, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.